There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. Are those Luke's words of Jesus, or are they a description of current day climate change realities? The signs are there in the heavens, and the nations are full of confusion. Faced by the roaring of the sea and the wildfires and the storms, some are confused about who to trust for truth, explaining away the warning bells of climate scientists with whatever excuses make them feel safe in their well-insulated homes. Many of us are confused about what to do in the face of the reality of climate change. Our leaders debate and criticize each other, creating policies and then blocking and undoing each other's in the next moment, leaving me wondering if we're ever getting anywhere at all. And there are many for whom all of this confusion becomes fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, what is coming on the land, what is coming into our day-to-day lives. Fear and foreboding and also anger and grief may often accompany us as we face the news of what is coming upon the world today. This is a world in which last Sunday, Central American adults and children of the migrant caravan were tear-gassed by U.S. Border Control, an act supported by the president, though these families have the legal right to seek asylum in the U.S. This is a world in which an Ontario woman recently publicly shared the letter she received from her church, which informed her that she had been removed from membership because she is in a relationship with another woman. Also in our province last month, our governing party resolved to debate whether gender identity would be taught in our schools. Their resolution betrays a bias, referring to gender identity theory as a highly controversial, unscientific, liberal ideology, making me fear for transgender and non-binary kids in school and others who may feel that their very existence and certainly their worth are up for debate. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. The more years that pass, the more I understand why this text and others of what is called apocalyptic literature are given to us during Advent. Pop culture mostly defines apocalypse as the end of the world or something like it. And I love Buffy the Vampire Slayer and her multiple apocalypses like any other feminist of my generation. But apocalypse from Greek means revelation, like the last book of our Bible. Apocalypse is uncovering. If I spend too much time in shopping malls anytime after Remembrance Day, I feel like it's a frantic exercise in covering things up. Cover up how you feel about yourself with the right outfit. Cover up any questions about ethical labor practices or living with less, and buy the right thing, the right gift, the right object to hide those questions. Don't talk about the epidemic of loneliness at holiday times or the celebrations that feel empty because someone is missing. Don't talk about those who can barely pay the winter heating bill, let alone buy gifts for loved ones. Cover that up with optimistic advertisements promising joy to the material world. Cover our feelings up with things. Enter the apocalypse. What Jesus calls us to is a peeling back of the veil that blinds us to what is true. Rather than trying to ignore or run away from the signs that all is not well, Jesus says, as God's messengers so often do in the Christmas story, "Do not be afraid. When you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near." when the heavens are shaking and the seas are roaring and all that we have known is overturning, it may be hardest to believe that God is present. We may despair at God's absence. But Jesus pulls back the veil and reveals what is true. The kingdom of God is as near as it ever was. Jesus says, be alert at all times. He says, be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with the excesses we use to drown the things we'd rather not face. Be on guard so your hearts are not weighed down with the worries of this life. Do not try to control that fear and foreboding or let it control you. Like the leaves on the fig tree, when you see these things taking place, you know that God is still in control. God reigns. The kingdom of God is near. Hope is as much about today as it is about tomorrow. Hope is how we live today, not throwing up our hands, waiting for another world where things will be better, but trusting that it is this world that God loves. It is this world that God longs to save and redeem and transform. Hope gives us the strength to pull back that veil and to reveal the hard truths that need to be faced, not papered over. There was a quote going around a while ago, and I couldn't remember it well enough to find it again, but it referred to the Me Too movement and the almost daily, it seemed, revelations of sexual assault and abuse by trusted people in power. And the quote was something about, things are not falling apart, things are being revealed. Truly, I tell you, Jesus said, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. What has been hidden is being revealed. And in that, there is hope. Stand up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. This act of revelation is especially fitting in Advent as we remember again that Christ was born into the worst of oppression and poverty and injustice, born into the weakest and most vulnerable of bodies and families in order to put skin on hope. The prophet Jeremiah spoke of a day when, out of the chopped down stump of a destroyed tree, an impossibly resilient branch would grow. And in the wavering vulnerability of that single branch, justice and righteousness would be practiced in the land. And in those days, the city of God's people would be given a new name. The Lord is our righteousness. Righteousness is what good looks and acts like. Righteousness is not merely something on display. Righteousness lives and breathes. And this is where the people of God will come home to. The Lord is our righteousness. The Lord, Yahweh, Creator God, whose very character is righteousness and justice, as they are often paired together. Yahweh is our righteousness. Do not be afraid when you see what is coming upon the world. Do not give up when you see the injustice, or when you face the loneliness, or when you question where it is all going. Even, or especially, as all of this is being revealed, when we could feel our most alone or our most frightened, we know that the kingdom of God is near. It is among us and within us. It is present to guide our living and breathing, our imitating of what good looks and acts like in the world. In Advent, we watch and we wait, but we are not inactive. We are alert and on guard because the kingdom of God requires our living. On November 23rd, a colleague of mine was arrested for watching and waiting and living out the kingdom of God. Isaac Villegas was also Matt Thiessen and Jen Kuhn's pastor at Chapel Hill Mennonite Fellowship in Durham, North Carolina. Two Friday mornings ago, Isaac was with dozens of other Christians, most, if I'm not mistaken, from Citywell United Methodist Church, where Samuel Oliver Bruno was taking sanctuary. Samuel, a 22-year resident of the U.S., with a wife who is sick and a son who is about to start college, had been threatened with deportation to Mexico. So he had been living in a Sunday school classroom in the church basement for about 11 months, where immigration authorities couldn't arrest him. That Friday morning, November 23rd, Samuel had been asked to come to an appointment that he was told was a routine part of the process of seeking a deferral on his deportation. So he went. And as he stepped beyond the church property line, it seemed that half of his church went with him. Pastor Cleve May said, "We don't really believe that sanctuary is just a building." Samuel went inside the immigration office with his son, his attorney, and his pastor. His church family watched from outside as he stood in the waiting room, when suddenly U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers in plain clothes tackled Samuel and his son to the ground. He was arrested and taken out a back door to a waiting government van. But Samuel's community was also prepared to wait and to watch. For 2 or 3 hours, dozens of Christians, more and more, gathered as phone calls were made, and they stood blocking the van's progress, singing hymns, praying, and surrounding their brother Samuel until 27 of them were arrested, including Isaac. I was especially moved by hearing an interview with this woman who was arrested. She was arrested that day. Manju Rajendran described standing around that van with others, arm in arm with others. She was breastfeeding her baby, knowing that if she was arrested, which she had said she was prepared to do, they would soon be separated. And she said as she stood there beside that van, surrounding that van, she was trying to convey to Samuel inside that he is still in sanctuary. We will protect each other. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. As near as it's ever been, though it may seem as hard as it's ever been to believe it. Now, when these things begin to take place, do not be afraid. Do not close your eyes and put your heads in the sand. Stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Hope is as much about our today as it is about our tomorrow. In hope, our watching and waiting is active, revealing what seeks to remain hidden, entrapments and backdoor escapes, and revealing the nearness of the kingdom of God, the incarnation of sanctuary. Samuel Oliver Bruno was moved from a local jail to an ICE detention facility in Georgia. And when I checked this morning, his community had recently learned that he had, in fact, been deported on November 29th. The church website reads, "We grieve with the Oliver family. While we will not stop pursuing justice, in these moments we will simply stand in the solidarity of grief with our loved ones. Please continue praying for Samuel, Julia, and Danielle." Still in their grieving, they are watching and they are waiting, and they are living out hope. "The days are surely coming, says Yahweh, when I will fulfill my promises to my people. Life will spring up from the remnants of destruction, and righteousness and justice will rule over the land. My children, brought back from exile, will live in safety, and they will come home to a place named "The Lord is our righteousness." For this we wait in hope. Amen.